We read from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 12. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, "Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God has arranged the organs in the body, each one of them, as he chose. God has so adjusted the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior part, that there may be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another. That there may be no discord, and that members may care. One of the best ways I know to make a bad mood worse in my life is to start reading other people's resumes, which in my profession is very easy to do. Every university has a website. Every university's sociology department has a website with pictures of their faculty and their lists of publications, an annoyingly high number of whom have many more than I do, in better journals than I do. And once I start reading that stuff, I can't stop. I'm just looking for somebody I can beat. And all it does is make my depression worse, make me feel more contentious, because I'm forced to be competitive. I just don't measure up. I don't have a valid place in the academy, which I know is silly, but you've been there. Got a quiz. Can anybody tell me what these five men have in common? Max Starks, Chris Kimoitu, Justin Hartwig, Darnell Stapleton, Willie Colon. Does anybody have a clue? These five men are the starting offensive linemen for the AFC champion Pittsburgh Steelers playing in this afternoon's Super Bowl. And nobody knows who they are. There are roughly 100 Division I-A college football programs in the United States, each of whom have about 100 members on the team. That's 10,000 guys who last year would have walked through fire to be one of these five, starting in the Super Bowl. Of those 10,000, 252 were drafted. That's a pretty small percentage. The number one draft choice for the Pittsburgh Steelers, a man named Rashard Mendenhall, another household name, drafted as a running back and who this year gained a whopping 58 yards for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was the number one draft choice for a team striving to be Super Bowl champions. Kind of interesting, isn't it, when you start thinking, well, even the most notable among us aren't that well known, more or less. I teach my students a concept. It's referred to as the master status. It's a job title or a label that all of us wear that is the one thing through which all other things about us is more or less filtered. Usually it's our profession. With me, my master status is probably minister, more so even than professor, because the concept of clergyman is a little more socially loaded, especially when somebody watches me go all Pat Knight on somebody. It's not very ministerial to do that. And if I wasn't a minister, it'd be less of a deal. But we all sort of have one of those things. The more extreme examples of a master status would be what some people have sort of as the first part of their first name. For example, if they win an Olympic gold medal, they are forever Olympic gold medalist, insert your name here. An Academy Award, Oscar winner, insert your name here. Nobel Prize, Nobel laureate so-and-so. There were 302 Olympic gold medals awarded at the Beijing Summer Games last August. Other than Michael Phelps, can you name another Olympic gold medal winner? Who can? Jeannie's a tennis fan. Usain Bolt. The Christians named him too. Okay, two. There were 302 Olympic gold medals awarded, all of whom hold the status of Olympic gold medalist, and we don't remember who they are. Anybody remember the Academy Award winning Best Picture of 2008, just a year ago? I had to look this stuff up. Best Picture of 2008, No Country for Old Men. Who saw it? A couple of us did. Yeah. Best Actor, 2008. And the film in which he starred?
The guy from that movie?
It was not. Good guess, though. Daniel Day-Lewis in There Will Be Blood. And the Best Actress Award was given to Marion Cotillard for a film, La Vie en Rose. What? Who won the 2008 Nobel Peace Prize? It was just awarded 3 months ago. A guy named Martti Ahtisaari, a lifelong diplomat from Finland. Here's my point. These are the most notable of the notables, and we almost have no clue, unless we happen to read the news story and hold it for the rest of the day. Now let me ask you this. Can you name your first grade teacher? Most of us can, or certainly someone in elementary. Do you remember the first person who kissed you for the first time for real? I'll leave aside the question of, is that person in this room with you now? Is there in your life the name of a hero, a mentor, someone who taught you what you need to be who you are? Of course there is. And these are people whose names we'll never forget, even if we can't pull out the name of the last Academy Award winner or Nobel laureate. In 2002, I went to a conference in Reno, Nevada, and presented one of the first papers that has come out of this body art study that my research team and I have been doing for the last few years that's gained minimal notoriety here and there. But hey, in any case, I presented this paper, and we went to Reno to do this because a friend of mine from grad school happened to be living there and was teaching at University of Nevada, Reno. And he came to the presentation, and at the end of which he said, well, that's just basic bread and butter sociology of my paper. And for a half a second, I was taken back, and I thought, no, he's absolutely right. And that's exactly what it's intended to be, is bread and butter sociology. And there have been several papers published from those data since, all of which are the basics of what people who basically do what I do get done. That's all that any of us are asked to be about. It's the one thing that holds all of us together. Very few of us are going to wind up on headline news. And for the most part, if we do, it's not always a good thing. So let's just be who we are as a part of bread and butter life together. Holding up our end in the body of Christ, as it were, and for this purpose. God has arranged every person and every part to be a part of a larger whole, the whole of which would be drastically different and infinitely less useful without you, regardless of what your part is. And Paul goes so far as to overstate it, saying that the inferior parts, seemingly, are elevated to higher value. For this purpose and this purpose only, so that there be no discord, and so that we care for one another. That whole competitive mindset that comes when we spend too much time reading other people's list of accomplishments and driving ourselves nuts creates discord and competition and less compassion. And it most importantly takes us away from the key insight that other people's accomplishments are what God needs them to do. God needs us to do what we do. God needs us to be who we are. That's it. No more, no less. These sentiments, I think, are best summarized in a poem by Ralph Waldo Emerson entitled, To Have Succeeded. And it goes like this. To laugh often and love much. There's a lot of laughter and love in our church and in our families. To laugh often and love much. To win the respect of intelligent people and the affection of children. To earn the approbation of honest critics and endure the betrayal of false friends. To appreciate beauty, to find the best in others. To give oneself and leave the world a little better, whether by a healthy child, a garden patch, or a redeemed social condition. Doesn't say the Nobel Prize. Although, interestingly enough, Martti Ahtisaari, the current holder of the Nobel Peace Prize, was originally trained as a primary school teacher. And I'll bet there are people that know his name more for that than for having won the Nobel. To have played and laughed with enthusiasm and sung with exultation. To know even one life has breathed easier because you have lived. This is to have succeeded. That's it. It's all that's necessary to hold up your end of the body of Christ. For what God has made you shall not call common, Peter proclaims. There's nothing more common than I can think of than a bit of bread or a sip of wine or grape juice. And yet that for us represents and becomes the body of Christ, which we then become set loose in the world, energized by our presence together, by this tiny bit of representative food, and by the unshakable assertion that you can take with you that the world would be different without you, without every bit of you, for you are the body of Christ. Let there be less discord and more care, as we know that it wouldn't be the same without any of us, and that even the most ordinary of the ordinary things we do counts. Amen.